Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and we're almost done with 2016, so put on a happy face. Some of it felt like days and days, but you're a Broadway baby, so happiness was always on the street where you live. As we get this 2017 sunrise sunset of what was 2016, the lullaby of Broadway brought us show people something to lovely. So to all those cockeyed optimists and people dancing on your graves out there, we're going to talk today about the seasons of love we've experienced when the ushers would say, "Welcome to the theater." The sun is going to shine because joining us today are the usual uphill climbers and turning roses, including...
That's terrible.
Yo, that was amazing. I know what you're talking about. Really
Kevin, what I miss Jager.
Hey!
Kimberly, our game master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes, hello. Ooh, everyone has a coaster.
Everyone has a coaster. Stay safe.
Ooh, that's true.
And with us today, we're welcoming two guests who you've heard here before.
Yeah.
One's the official Broadway artist and co-creator of the Lights of Broadway show cards. The other does something on social media, like wrote two books or something I don't really know. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to our friends of the show. Oh, sorry, I missed that.
Friends of the show.
My mouth is full of drink.
Andrew Bradis and Justin Squiggs Robertson.
Woo-hoo!
What are we drinking?
What are we drinking?
I'll go first. I'm having tequila and ginger ale out of a Kinky Boots cup.
I'm having the same thing out of a Spring Awakening cup.
Wow. I'm having a Lagunitas little something ale, which is, there's a local bar like two blocks from my apartment that has a little something something night every Tuesday night, and we're recording this on a Tuesday, so after I finish this beer, I'm going to go back to that bar, and I'm going to keep drinking the same beer.
Consistency.
Consistency, yes.
Kimberly?
I have peach seltzer. Because my stomach's been a little weird today.
Okay. Good. Just good.
But what is it?
Take a little break.
Oh, but it's in a cat's cup. Duh.
Meow.
I have vodka on the rocks, and I brought my own Roundabout Theater cabaret cup.
Oh, yes.
Because last time I was on, I said that that was my favorite musical.
Yes.
And it is, and I still love it. And this is from when I went to see it the last time of, like, the six times I saw it on Broadway in the last 20 years.
That was 54?
54. Emma Stone. And I love all my Sally Bowles, but
who's your original Sally?
Susan Egan.
Wow.
Susan Egan.
Oh, wow.
And she was incredible.
Yeah.
She was
great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's always going to be my favorite. But then at the same time, Emma Stone was my last one, and then she's my favorite.
I heard she was fantastic.
She was really fantastic.
She really was.
Every single Sally Bowles I've seen has brought something different to the role, and they've all been incredible.
Yeah, it's an interesting character that, like, it's different. There are some characters that aren't that different every time you see it, but I feel like Sally Bowles is a character that, like, really is completely different based on who plays it.
Yeah, completely.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Schindel, Debbie Gibson, Michelle Williams, all of them. They've all been different.
Have you seen the clip? You can find it on YouTube of Judy Dench.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, you know, either Ken or Ed said that, like, she was their favorite of the Sally Bowles.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a fantastic clip. And it's like you start watching it and you're like, who is that? She looks familiar. Why does she look familiar? And then she starts talking, you're like, oh my gosh, that's Dame Judi Dench.
She was young once.
Yeah.
Yeah. She hasn't
sultry,
been that age
wild.
The whole time.
Sultry, but damaged.
That is the character breakdown, yes.
Exactly.
So on today's episode, we're going to break down 2016 and look forward to 2017.
Break it down.
2016 has broken us. So why not reciprocate?
Yes, we're done now.
But before we do that, you can follow Andrew on actor_friend or at Andrew Bradis. And Squiggs at call me Squiggs.
Correct.
So follow them there. Let's just start with what you all been waiting for.
Yes.
What?
What's that?
Oh, I know what this is.
Kevin. Kevin Jager.
Yes.
What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
Guys, I saw Hamilton.
Yay!
You were in the room where it happened?
I was actually in the room, and I was real close in the room, too.
Really?
So I want to preface this with Kevin, Kimberly, and I have not discussed Kevin's opinions on Hamilton yet.
Which has been really hard.
Yeah.
It's been a week to the day. A week to the day.
Literally every time I try to talk about it, Brian would be like, save it for the show! Save it for the show!
We've gotten snippets.
This is a really special room to be in where it's happening now.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You're welcome.
So, Kevin.
We just hung a tie on the door.
Yeah. Kevin. Kevin, lay it on us.
So, I mean, it's okay. First of all, obvious big shout out to Matt Doyle for helping me get into the room where it happens. It's just an expertly crafted musical from like the writing standpoint, from like the direction standpoint, from choreography. It was just a well-oiled machine. Writing is really what just blew my mind. I'll talk about some of the performers in a second, but you could really take any performer and put them into the show and have such a strong impact because the writing is so pure and incredible. But it's interesting what people brought to it, because I've been listening to the cast album and preparing myself, and then I went into it now where there's almost no one left in the originals who are in the leads. So I kind of saw it like hearing people's head, like voices in my head ready for it, and then somebody totally different. And I think this new round of casting was interesting because they did not try to recreate what was leaving in the originals. They went in very different directions. First one that comes to my mind is Mandy Gonzalez playing Angelica. I think she was a very different style singer and just emoter than Renee is, which kind of hit me very differently because Angelica, I didn't realize from just listening until you see it, is a very like strong part for... There's a lot of like just looks at her, and like her face has to tell you so much without having like a whole song to talk about it. Mandy Gonzalez is just so striking on stage that like the light almost didn't have to hit her before she like slams you with that emotion. And she did a really cool riff at the end of Satisfied, which I wasn't expecting, which was super fun. Like she got into like her In the Heights kind of place where she's like wailing a bit, which I loved. But my favorite performance, I think, obviously you got to give a shout out to Javier Muniz, who's amazing. But my favorite performance was actually Nicholas Christopher, who's playing George Washington right now. That was never like the whole George Washington song, like Here Comes the General, was never one that I always listened to. But it was my favorite part of the entire show. Like the energy was so high. Yeah. And he just had this like amazing emotional like...
Washington is like something that doesn't read when you're listening to it, and then you see it, and you're just like, oh, I'm weeping, like, during One Last Time, and it's just like,
so
it's a lot of times, like, the songs you might skip listening to it, and then it's like, oh, no, this is, like, what shaped the way the story is moved, like.
So, Kev, can you talk about what Kimberly was talking about in terms of hype, knowing the album, and then finally going to see it? Like, what were things that... you hated on the album that you loved in the show, or things that like you love on the album or like didn't read for you within the context of the show? Is there something like that?
Totes. So one of the things that really struck me was actually there's a part in Quiet Uptown. I loved on the album when I listened to it, there's the part where she says like she takes her hand and she says it's Quiet Uptown and it's this beautiful moment. And then they sing Forgiveness. And in my head, I was like, oh, I wish they had just let that moment like sit for a little bit. Like she's holding his hand, like just give me a breath.
You
and
didn't
just
know
that. But then,
oh, no, they say it. You take sense. Sorry.
But then when I saw it on stage, like when the entire ensemble together just sang the word forgiveness as she reached and held her hand, like I like choked up. And it was like a slap in the face almost
moment.
Of emotion. And so that
it's
was
like
a really cool moment.
The tears
to kind of
done.
See.
It's like as if like, you know, when like a raindrop falls and when it lands, it goes ting. And it's that vocal comes right on that moment of the hand. And that
oh,
totally.
Yeah.
It was just, perfect. It really like hits you with that emotion. And then that it was just like, it wasn't a moment where they were like having a big sign being like, this is forgiveness. It was just like, it created like this unified voice where like you just kind of felt like that. It was almost like they were hugging just by touching, which was a really beautiful moment.
It's like everyone exhaled at one time.
I was also kind of expecting more of the like, which they have on the album. Like, I thought they were going to play.
I'm sorry, can you do that one more time?
Do it again.
Yeah, I missed that
couple. Okay, scratchy kiss.
Like, the remix kind of stuff. But, like, sure. There was a little of it. But, like,
no. But, no, I get what you're saying. When I saw the show before the cast album was recorded. And so when I got the cast album, I was like, there was a lot more of the scratching and the,
yeah,
the, and, so, the and like, the that kind of digital effects. And it was present when I saw the show and when I saw it again. But it was, like, it was deeper in the mix.
Totally.
To me.
Mm-hmm. So, it was not, like, a loud kind of thing. Which,
so, Squigs, yeah. On the flip side, mm-hmm. What was something that you saw in the show before seeing the album, listening to the album, that kind of – was a flip-flop?
Kind of the biggest, the best answer, I think, for that is I saw it early in previews at the Public, and One Last Time was One Last Ride. And it was, you know, they were responding to the Whiskey Rebellion in upstate New York. And
they put on tri-corner hats.
Yeah, and basically it was an entire set of new costumes for everyone. Like, they were all in kind of more country, rural, colonial costumes. And it was about Washington heading up, you know, there and taking one last ride. And it was very much like, you know, almost swashbuckling kind of a thing. But in the context of where it is now, it cut a whole set of costumes.
Oh, yeah.
But it's yeah.
No, well, I thought about that time, too. Yeah. And I was just like, no.
Kimberly actually talks about that moment the most in terms of, like, the biggest difference that she loved from, like, cutting that and turning it into one last time.
It focused more on the story of him basically setting the tradition of limiting a leader's, you know, time in office. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a point of where it focuses more on
history.
This
is the first time I picked up my drink.
I know.
So, yeah, but it really did definitely focus the story more. And it was less of kind of like, oh, now we're off to Rochester or, you know, or wherever it was they were
going.
But
did you find then, because I then got the cast album before I saw it again, and listening to that song, I was like, oh, I guess that song is pretty. And I, like, did away with the other stuff. And then when I saw it again, I was like, oh, no, they made this perfect.
Oh, no, it is. And then, they, you know, they have them up on the top of that, like, moving ladder.
Oh, and just the lighting in that scene, the, like, hallway almost that they make when they switch who's speaking. And
how about that design? Yay, props for the Hamilton designers. Corins and
so when you saw it, Andrew, did you see it pre or post listening to the album?
Post it coming out, but pre... Fun fact, I still haven't listened to the album.
Oh, no, that's...
I hadn't listened. I said, I will not listen.
You've been waiting to listen to it.
I was waiting to see it. I didn't want to listen to anything, so I just kind of loved... Uh-huh. I wrote a blog about, like, things I know about Hamilton that I've learned off of Twitter. I don't know anything. So I didn't know if it was Skylar or Schuler. I didn't know how to pronounce their last. I didn't know.
Schuler Hensley, sisters.
Right? I didn't know how to pronounce their names. I thought the song was called One Shot. I knew that Peggy was who you didn't want to get on the BuzzFeed quiz. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, I actually, there's like, okay, I'm scrolling up. I'm not paying attention to it because I don't want to color my opinion of it. When I saw it, and then I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah, you guys weren't... I'm going to give the first Carmen Cusick of the night. You guys weren't f***ing around. It is that good. And then for some reason, and all of it, and honestly, for me, the most emotional thing, not knowing anything about it, was the bullet sequence when he goes into the acapella, when he goes into the hole, and then it does the rotation.
Oh,
And I have two really wonderful rewinds on Broadway. As for when you go back to Satisfied, the rewind there, and then you go into the rewind in Asheville in Bright Star.
Oh, that's one of my favorite. Well, I just got goosebumps.
Yes, yeah. I was like, you know, give me a rewind.
That's so cool.
And then I didn't
give me a rewind.
and I loved it. And I was like, it is everything that everybody is saying. And then I don't know why I'm not in a cast recording phase in my life. I might get back into it, but I just didn't end up getting it. I say that somebody made a Hamilton reference to me on a text recently, and I said, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, Hamilton mixtape. And I said, oh, you're going to have to always give me context with Hamilton. I've heard the opening number done more with parody lyrics than I've heard it regular.
Who's doing that?
Yes. And I've heard Satisfied sung more by Rachel Hoffman, who's a casting director at Telsey, from a YouTube series we did, than I have heard Satisfied done regularly.
Yeah.
And I know that's blasphemous. It's just where I'm at in the stage of my what I listen to. And honestly, when I listen to, when I have time to listen to something, I'm always listening to podcasts or workout music.
And that's okay.
It's usually you guys. I listen to you guys more than I listen to Hamilton.
What?
take the tie off the door.
So, Kevin,
yes.
Final thoughts on, because you're going to write something for the blog.
I am. I'm going to write a little piece about my whole experience because it was a really cool experience.
And it would be a whole episode if we keep talking.
Yeah, right. We could. So I'm gonna let you final words on your Hamilton experience and your Kev for Ham experience.
It's been really cool that everybody's been so supportive of me getting in to see this show. And as a writer and as just like a creative professional, it was so inspiring to see it. And I'm so amazed, not just at what I saw that night, but like how it's kind of like shot a bolt of lightning through the entire world of Broadway right now. And I'm so excited to find out what the next Kev 4 is going to be, to see the next big thing as well. And I think there's a lot of creative minds that are going to be inspired by getting into the room where it happens to see Hamilton. So definitely, I would say go see it, guys.
Two thumbs up
from Kev.
Yeah. Every thumb I have is up.
So there is...
That's three.
I mean...
Abnormalities.
So after Hamilton, we've actually seen a ton of stuff recently. So instead of talking about what we've seen this week, because we've actually collectively with the five of us have seen an outrageous amount of theater, which includes Dear Evan Hansen, In Transit, La La Land, Hairspray, Puffs, The Bright, I know, but it's, I was expecting a playbill, The Bright Star Concert. Let's just straight up start talking about 2016, because I'm sure these shows and movie will definitely come up in that conversation.
Sure, totes will.
So let's start with our guests. What were some of your favorite shows of the year?
I'll start off with, I mean, Dear Evan Hansen is really has rocked my world. I saw it at Second Stage in the spring, and I saw it, you know, just saw it on the Broadway, and it's something that's pretty amazing. And just incredibly well written and incredibly well performed.
And Pesek and Paul are having quite the year.
Yeah. There's some busy fellows, and you know, leading up to that, I mean, they've been doing great work for years. I mean, the Christmas Story was lovely. Dogfight's astounding. Mm-hmm. And
Edges.
Butcher, I love
going
Edges.
All the way back.
Wow, way back. Yeah. No, but yeah, especially Dear Evan Hansen, and then you know, we want to talk about La La Land as well.
Yeah.
It's you know, they're just really, I mean, they're kind of at that you know, that becoming that star level, you know, composer team.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about Dear Evan Hansen and La La Land in more depth once Kevin and Kimberly have seen it.
Yeah.
Go see both of those because it's probably going to be up for best. Well.
It's already started winning awards.
Yeah. I also just like not to take away from Pesek and Paul, but just also just bring up the book writer, which is Stephen Levinson, who I feel that there's
Masters
that,
of Sex,
and I think that like there's so much of that. It's the story, and I know they all work together creating the story, but there were so many moments that I love that they just let the book breathe as a. Now, New York Times, we all know that a book also can be fully sung through, as they tried to say, Hamilton. Remember that? That was a great point in 2016. It was like, well, Hamilton is all sung through, so there's no book. But like when you,
that's not how that works.
But
this means that the book is singing. It doesn't mean that the book doesn't exist.
I love that there were so many moments in Dear Evan Hansen where they just let it. There was an entire scene would go by, and they felt, we don't need to have a song here. Yeah. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, very much so.
And it was
they're really smart about what they musicalize.
Yes, everyone go see
it's
it.
It's a great cast.
What else? So let's go. What else, Andrew? What did you love this year?
Oh, what I love this year since it's not we're doing 2016. So yeah. I think I began with obviously I Hamilton's 2015. So
we can skip. Sorry, Kevin.
Kevin's Hamilton was 2016.
I'm gonna start and go backwards. Oh, hello.
That was on my list too. Yeah.
Oh, hello, which John Mulaney and Nick Kroll, which fun story. I when I had friends, you know, Sarah Litzinger, who was Broadway's longest running Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And then Kate Reinders, who was just in Something Rotten originating Portia. Uh-huh. They have a band together called Tasty Skank where they do like bits of like they're like the hot blonde girls who are singing about, you know, doing pills and screwing guys. And they had this comedy duo that they were doing and they still do. And they were auditioning for, I think they were auditioning for the Aspen Comedy Festival in at Ars Nova. And it was the two of them. And then it was like two stand-ups. And then these two, you know, young guys in their mid-20s with Ricky's Shake and Go wigs who got up in like sweater vests and talked in the Upper West Side old man accent. And it was called Oh Hello. And I've been following, 10 years ago, I've been following the two of them. So every time John Mulaney would pop up as an update guest on Weekend Update or Kroll right. Show came out, I'd be like,
I love John Mulaney.
They're so great. I'd be like, it's the guys from Ars Nova. Yeah. I saw them when 40 of us were in a room together. So to go see how they created this thing and took it from the, you know, whatever they were doing 10 years ago into this big, huge, big budget, but big budget, self-aware play.
With a big love for Broadway.
With a big love for Broadway. And they have a clear love for the community because it went to Gypsy of the Year. Where they, and it was amazing. They came up and they did all their riffing and they made fun of everybody. And then they were like, but in a way that was like, we're so excited to be here. And sometimes outsiders come in and there's an arrogance to them. And the two of them come in and they just couldn't be more appreciative and more in love with the community that they're in. Absolutely. And they're just incredible.
And they know their material. They know their material. Yes.
Who was your tuna guest?
Fred Savage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Who was your tuna guest?
Seth Meyers.
Oh, nice.
Well, I was there on a press night, so they
gave you a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the Fred Savage.
Sorry.
No, Fred Savage is great. And the riffs that they can come up with on the fly with these people, it's like, oh, that's an art.
They went on The Bachelor after show and like interviewed the Bachelor cast offs. And it was one of my favorite things because I was like,
as them or as
Oh Hello. Oh. And I was like, one, who pitched this to them? That was like, you need to be on After the Final Rose. And then they were like, yeah, okay, see you there. And obsessed.
Yeah.
And then Bright Star.
Yeah. That's
on mine too.
Yeah. So Kimberly,
but speaking of Ars Nova, I think my favorite thing, I saw it on your list because I printed it for you.
Thank you.
The wildness at Ars Nova, I think, was my favorite experience seeing a show this year, if not like ever.
Thank you.
There's your new beer.
When was that? When was that?
It was in the spring. I looked it up to make sure it was 2016.
It was. Yeah.
It was maybe January to March. Mm-hmm. You can probably look it up by whenever Lauren Worsham had her baby, because it was about 3 weeks after they closed.
Yeah. Wow. Let me Google that.
Yeah.
Was incredible, and
she was insane. And I went back and I took my fiance to see it with me because I was like, I need to be in that room again, and I need someone else to be in there with me to like prove that it's that cool. And I was so into it. And then they put blindfolds on.
So
and
sure
then
it's real. You're invited to their party and they start telling you like why they have this party every year. And like
right.
It was so well written. Kyle Jarrow wrote it. I mean Sky Pony's
it's about
music.
Throwing away your doubts once a year. About getting in a room with all of your friends and saying what you're doubtful for and like what you've questioned about yourself this year and just like throwing it away. And so they ask like people in the audience to like give an example.
The audience participation. This gives me thinking about Natasha and Pierre. When I went to go see Natasha and Pierre.
Oh, and I usually hate audience participation.
It scares the crap out of me.
I was obsessed with this show because it felt like you could participate if you want to. And even just sitting there, you're like, I'm participating enough that they can tell that I don't want to talk to them.
Yes. And that's the feeling I got at Natasha and Pierre was that they came out there like, cool, we're going to be walking here. We're going to throw food at you. You're going to get a drink and we might give you props, but you don't need to deal with it if you don't. I had the greatest time at that show. I thought it was that experience. Have you seen it yet?
No, I'm going
in January.
Yeah, okay. In February.
Talk about there's many great directors happening.
In March.
There are many great directors happening.
We'll talk about it in April.
Oh, yeah, okay. But because of the wildness, I'm picking one of the banquette seats because I'm just I want to be in that.
Yes. And also you're sitting here like, I saw Billy Elliot here. I saw Corum Boy in this room. Like, you turned this into that? Like, it's incredible.
Oh, you're talking about the Natasha Pierre?
Yeah, how they do the set at the Imperial. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
They lost like 300 seats to put in the set how they did it. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, just if you didn't get to see the wildness, you can look up Sky Pony, which is the band that Lauren Worsham is a part of that started the music on Spotify. Cool. They have all their albums.
Nice. Kev, now that she stole your thing, where are you going?
I have a couple other ones.
You can talk about Bright Star.
I love me some Bright Star, but the other two that I put on my list were SpongeBob when I saw it in Chicago. I had so much fun
awesome.
At SpongeBob.
It
was just like, you just laughed a lot, and like the music was always something fresh because it was a different composer every time. So you were just like, where are we going this time? And like the actors were just so on point. I'll talk about that a little bit more later, but SpongeBob was definitely in my top, as was the Keene Theater Company's revival of Tick, Tick, Boom.
Which is extended.
Which,
we're just dropping a Lily Cooper bang, bang, bang.
Maybe it's that we love
three in a row with Lily Cooper.
And Nick Blamire, because he was in SpongeBob as well.
Oh, and he and Lily was in SpongeBob.
Yeah.
We have three, but we have three Lilies. So Lily so far
is the top.
I got bingo. I did.
Would you like some candy?
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, I would say definitely the Tick, Tick, Boom is incredible.
Lily Cooper bingo.
That's a game we play now.
I mean, those are my favorite besides Hamilton and the Wildness, because I count Hamilton as 2016.
Because that's when you got to see it.
I just done gone saw it.
I'm going to say I'm going to agree with Dear Evan Hansen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to agree with Bright Star. I'm going to also add Color Purple and She Loves Me to that.
She Loves Me is on my list as well.
Yeah. I thought that.
And Color Purple would, you know.
Was Color Purple this year?
It might have opened.
We saw it this year.
We saw it this year. Okay.
And I screamed at Cynthia Erivo when she was running the New York City Marathon this year, so I feel like I counted.
You feel like
you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I screamed at
her. Actually, that means you were in the show.
I sat with her in her dressing room while she signed a bunch of Broadway show cards.
Was it magic? Yeah. Okay, can you run a marathon now, just being in her
you were in the room where it happened.
Yeah,
where the hell
where her life happened.
She couldn't have been nicer. And then also across the hall, Jennifer Holliday had just started, you know, performances.
Oh, okay.
She was there, but Jennifer Holliday is now a big old light catcher, collector.
Oh, really?
What?
The day that someone gave her her first card, she went and bought 72 packs between three different stores. And then the next day, Danielle was leaving the show. Danielle Brooks was leaving Color Purple. And they took this wonderful picture of Jennifer Holliday holding two of her cards and Danielle holding two of her cards. It's the most amazing thing.
That's cool.
Wait, so question. Has Jennifer Holliday contacted any of us for our props
to
the press
incorrect.
Cards?
No.
Not yet.
No.
We might need to directly contact her.
Yes, we would. Yes.
And I also love She Loves Me because I just thought it was a Golden Age musical perfectly executed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's kind of a perfect musical to begin with. Like with the, one of the original one of the original reviews was it's a bonbon of a musical. And
oh, that's
kind
exactly
of true. And then it was just such a lovely, loving revival.
And that Polly Pocket set was phenomenal. So we've all mentioned one show that made our top of the list. So I think we should talk about it now. Because Kevin, Kimberly, and I attended the
concerto.
The concert of Bright Star, which was amazing.
Yeah, we did.
And we leaving the theater, we got sad because we just can't like see it whenever we want.
Brian literally like lingered at the door. He was like, I don't want to leave Bright Star, though. I want it to stay. It was so cute.
It was so good.
And it was, I didn't know it was live streaming until Act 2.
They didn't
and
really... Then
I didn't just because I missed that.
Squigs knows about everything.
I sit at my desk all day and I just do nothing but procrastinate on social media.
Same, things. But sometimes if you're looking at the wrong thing, then like you're stuck like playing on you know Twitter for hours, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh God, I've missed Bright Star and I got to see Act 2.
Broadway Twitter loves Bright Star.
They do.
They do.
Yeah. It's funny, and you know, you all had it on your list. I did enjoy it very much, but it was definitely not near the top of my list at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I had a conversation today with someone who hated it, and I was
I definitely do not hate it by any means, and there's so much that I liked, especially in the performances.
Bottom line about Bright Star is it's fun. The music is really good. The supporting performances are excellent, but that show doesn't work without National Treasure Carmen Cusack.
No. The music is, I don't remember, I knew the music was good, and I had, again, I'm not in my cast.
All right, and then you tuned in Act 2.
Act 2, and I'm not in my cast recording phase. I did download Asheville.
It's
the only show tune
song.
I have on my phone.
Well, speaking of reverses, that's what
reverses,
talked about
before. But so reliving at least that Act 2, those ballads and that those vocals and everything about that, I was like, oh God damn,
Carmen,
the score is so damn good.
Stage.
And Carmen Cusack in that 11 o'clock number, that At Last.
Uh-huh.
And this is, you know, I'm going to go into it right now. Or I want to have a little moment where I talk about Broadway debuts. You can see her in her performance that it was her Broadway debut, even just last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of these performances I want to talk about. We're talking about like the greatest performances you've seen this year. Carmen Cusack is one of them.
Oh yeah, mine
too. The other one is a friend of mine who I watched.
Just, can you do me a favor?
Oh, yes.
Every time you say Carmen Cusack, just preface it with National Treasure.
National Treasure, Carmen Cusack. Because I don't think we've
so
had
much.
Enough of Carmen Cusack on this.
We have. Let's all go around and say our favorite curse word.
Dumpling? I don't know.
What are these words
I'm
you
just
know?
Making things up.
I really just like mother.
I don't know. I say it a lot.
Great.
Talking about Broadway debuts, I have a friend, a good friend of mine, happened to be at my apartment when he got his call that he was going to be making his Broadway debut. Talking about performances that are really important to you, this was one of them. It was a natural performance because it was real, but he had been waiting for his call all week, and he didn't even know he was going to get a call, because usually when you make to a certain point where you think you're going to call, you don't get the call. You find out on Twitter or Facebook, the phone rings, and we know that it's his agent, and we don't know what the call's going to be. And he gets up and walks over 2 feet over to our kitchen, which is, like, you know, tiny apartment, and he goes over there to the kitchen, and I could see in his eye. You only make your Broadway debut once. You only hear you're going to make your Broadway debut once. And I watched him hear it. I saw his eyes, and in that moment, I watched him hear that he was going to be on Broadway. I started crying. My wife started crying. And literally, like, actually tearing up. And because it was that thing where it's like, and he's over 30, and there is a cross-section of this, you know, industry that, you know, they make their debuts at different times. Carmen Cusack made it over 30. To watch this person go through that and experience that.
And you could see that on Carmen's face.
Yes, watching her sing that number. And it was so, they both sort of made sense to me in the same way.
Because you could, like, see in her eyes, she still didn't believe it was happening.
Yes, that you could see her singing that number going, this is a very special moment in my life. And in, like, the, it transcends just acting the character.
Yeah.
I saw that happen in the live stream last night, and I saw that happening when my friend got that call.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So, going off of that, let's combine the category. Let's talk about our favorite performances of the year, as well as still ones that baffled us. So I'm going to go with Carmen, obviously, but I'm also going to say Danny Burstein in Fiddler.
Mm, amazing.
I just had never seen Tevye played like that before, and it really took me by surprise. I'm going to also add Ben Platt to that, because that's special. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to add, just to like start conversation, Stephanie J. Block in Falsettos doing Breaking Down.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I'm
I have someone else from Falsettos.
I'm amazed that she has not, knock on wood, that she has not cut herself.
Oh, I know, right?
Because she's chopping vegetables in that song.
So that, I'm going to start with those.
Agree.
And Arebo, but she won't. So you can't say that was my favorite.
Plus, secondly, 2015. Okay.
Touche. What else baffled people? Do people love?
Oh, I was just going to talk about baffling in a good way. Andrew Rannells in Falsettos is, during that song in his hospital room, I was like, you are doing something with stillness that I did not expect from you. Because I'm so used to, like, oh, I'm doing this, like, big, broad, like,
girls,
painting with
Mormon,
broad strokes, totally. And then he was literally saying an entire ballad from a chair, looking ill, and I, like, could not take my eyes away from him.
Yeah.
It was,
That's a great one.
And so that was one that I was just like, oh, this is not at all how I expected, one, this show to go, because I didn't know anything about it, and two, this performance to go, because even in the first act, it's like this broad 70s gay man, and then, oh no.
Andrew?
Performances that baffled me, I had written down, I just didn't know why we had to watch Carpool Karaoke on the Tonys again. I got in fights
with
people.
Not everyone had seen it.
They were like, not everyone had seen it. I said, you know what, the people who even give a crap about this show are already saw it. It was wonderful. It was great, but I thought it felt like a filler, and in a season that had so many incredible musicals and so many great performances, and this whole like spearheaded
more
and like sound design. You could have gotten more
niche there. Yeah. No, you could have been more niche there. I don't think people were tuning in for Hamilton. They weren't going to lose. I don't think that like I Jen Samard in Disaster was incredible, but the thing I wasn't expecting for Jen Samard to perform on the Tonys, but then I saw that I was like, well, I mean, really, I mean, you couldn't have had so much other material.
And that's the thing. We had seen it already. It already had hit the airwaves. We'd already seen that particular thing.
A week before.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few extra little clips, but I mean, one thing that I do appreciate is that James Corden did it. You know, in the first place, we didn't have to see it on the Tonys again.
Oh, yes, completely. And I think James Corden as a host was fantastic. Oh, and I think that what he did before was great.
I teared up his little mini him. I was like, oh,
that
my
opening
gosh.
Number was beautiful.
It was so touching. I thought it was really cool.
And all those kids have your cards.
I know. Kev, what's your baffling or best performances of the year?
Okay, real quick, best performances. Pitch Perfect performance came from Megan McGinnis for Daddy Longlegs. Daddy Longlegs. I've literally never sat and watched someone give a absolutely pitch perfect performance, and she was. I mean, she lived in that role for so long that it should be something she can live in. But she was heavenly. It was beautiful. It's going to cause controversy, but Benjamin Walker in American Psycho.
Yeah, we know.
I thought that performance was so riveting. Yeah. And I think that
that's fair. He was good.
Yeah. Just the guts that it took to do that, like to be
to just be in his underpants.
Well, it wasn't even it was that, but also just like he was so exposed and in so many like vulnerable ways, not even just like physically, but emotionally, like through that whole show. And I feel like he really did, regardless of what you think of the overall production, I think he went on an emotional journey that was gripping to watch from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I also threw in the entire cast of The Robber Bridegroom. I felt like I was watching the cast of SNL put on a really awesome musical when I saw that show. Leslie Kreutzer, and big shout out to her for kind of like being like the center of the funny. Evan Harrington was also super funny as like the... The big guy with the head.
Just the head.
Yeah. I just thought that was a really awesome group.
Greg Hildreth is good.
As far as baffling,
he's,
I just...
one of the funniest people.
This has been my weird year of following Nick Blamire around the country, apparently. Because I saw
Stalker. Hashtag stalker.
But to see him do Plankton in SpongeBob, which was such like a interesting concept-y kind of show, and then to come to New York and watch him do Tick, Tick, Boom. And Tick, Tick, Boom, he was so... organic, and he was so real and alive in that show that it made it like electric to me. So to see him do like these two completely different roles in one year was really baffling in a good way. So that was my little baffle.
Puffs.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Everybody go see Puffs.
Do you guys know what it is?
No. Did you make that up?
No.
Hufflepuffs? No.
Yeah.
It's the Hufflepuff play.
So what it is, it's a 90-minute play, no intermission.
It's a parody. Harry Potter thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so it's it's the 7 years of Harry Potter as told from the Hufflepuff point of view.
Yes.
And it's all parody, so they call themselves Puffs, not Hufflepuffs. When they sort everyone, they just go,
it's like brave,
smart, snake.
And it's so good. And they only say like Cedric or Mr. Diggory. Like they never actually say his name or Harry or
they
Mr.
Just call
Potter.
The headmaster.
It's like Dodo.
Yeah, they call him
Bippy.
Bippy. You
instead of Dobby.
It's Bippy. Phenomenal.
And Wicked Dodo instead of Toto.
And you all sorted yourself in this or through Potter?
No, they sorted me.
They sorted you.
We sorted you for fun.
Just for fun.
Did you
what are
me?
You?
No, we didn't. What are you?
Oh, what would you ask the hat for?
I have taken the Pottermore test many times, and once I got Hufflepuff and three times Gryffindor. I think that I'm probably, overall, I would ask for a Gryffindor, but I think that I'm a Gryffindor with a Hufflepuff rising.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So Kimberly's
I keep getting sorted into Ravenclaw, and I disagree.
We think that Kimberly's a Slytherin with a Ravenclaw rising.
Yeah.
Or am I a Slytherin with Hufflepuff rising? Because I want to be different than all the mean kids.
No.
Even though I was one of the mean kids in high school, and that's why we say I'm
I love that you're one of the mean kids.
I was so mean.
So let's, on that note, let's move on to 2017.
Woo! Real quick, wasn't there a category about like crazy gossip
and stuff?
This isn't so much gossip. This is something that I overheard.
Okay.
Robber Bridegroom.
Yes.
I was chatting with a few folks, and we were talking about someone who got to take home their kinky boots. And there's only been two people that have been able to do that now. One Wayne Brady and one Aaron Finley, who just left the show.
Oh, I saw Wayne Brady. That's my Lola.
I still haven't seen
but
it.
But then I heard a fun story about Robert Bridegroom.
Coops really? For Boots.
Tell us.
And about the leather jacket that Stephen Pasquale wore. And about who made it. I'm going to call Broadway's Greg Hildreth.
Hi, Greg Hildreth.
God, my boyfriend? I love Greg Hildreth. He's so great.
He's so funny.
Squiggs calls him,
here?
Hello, Mr. Greg Hildreth?
Yes, hello?
It's Squiggs.
Hi, Squiggs.
Hi there. This is Broadway's Greg Hildreth, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Greg.
This is Broadwasted podcast, we're actually recording right now.
Oh, my God.
I know. Did you feel all the pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we all did. Oh, hang on.
We're doing a sound adjustment right now.
Hello?
Hello, Greg?
Hello?
Oh, you're
in our ears!
This is great to know.
You're in our cans, actually.
Oh, I'm Brian, by the way.
Yes.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, I'm Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. I've heard all such wonderful things about you guys and the podcast.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love that.
I have yet to listen, I'm ashamed to say, but I will now.
And you should be a guest sometime. And Andrew Bradis is here as well.
This is Andrew. I'm married to Sarah Jenkins, who was in Can-Can with you.
Oh, hi, Andrew. Oh,
he's like,
God.
Wait, what? I like... Yeah, it's Andrew. What's up?
There was so much... If you just said your name, I would...
Yeah.
For the record,
we follow each other on Instagram.
I love Can-Can.
Oh, God. Oh, well, let's start. Okay.
We love Can-Can. Believe me, I love a Can-Can.
All right, Squiggs has a story.
Okay, here's the story. And Greg, I was just telling them that we have this little section that we're talking about right now as far as ridiculous gossip. And I was saying that I had overheard a rumor and I about Stephen Pasquale's... how do you say Pasquale or Pasquale?
Pasquale.
We did it! We solved the mystery!
Yes. Fantastic. Exactly. Now the world will know.
And the world will know.
See where we're at? About the leather jacket that Stephen wore in The Robber Bridegroom, which was a fantastic production and has a wonderful recording. But what's the story behind this jacket? He goes into his fitting for his costumes.
The story was that Emily Rebholz, the costume designer, was having difficulty. She had to find someone that could make a leather jacket. And so there's this, apparently this person, I can't remember their name, this designer / clothing maker that works for the New York City Ballet, who specializes in leather, making leather clothes.
Hot.
And so, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so Emily commissioned this coat to be made by this woman or man. I can't remember. Goddamn. Anyway, she went to go check on the progress of the coat up at the New York City Ballet. And the person that was there was like, oh, I won't actually be there. But my associate, Daniel, will be there and Daniel can take care of you. And she's like, oh, great, great. So she gets there. And she's like, hi, I'm here to see Daniel about this leather coat. And the person there was like, oh, yeah, just a second. Out shuffles Daniel Day-Lewis with this leather coat that he had been making.
I wish you could see everybody's face because we just all lit up at the same time.
What?
Apparently, I don't know what his next role is.
Is he playing a leathersmith?
Leather worker. But he was learning... He was apprenticing in the costume shop at the New York City Ballet and learning how to work with leather.
Daniel Day-Lewis made that jacket.
Yes. Yeah. That's the rumor.
That's the ridiculous gossip of 2016.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
I think we can move on to 2017.
Yeah, I think so.
We're ready.
That's all we needed.
Amazing. But Greg, you gotta get on this podcast. You would have so much fun.
He's already been on. You don't get to go on now, Greg.
Oh, snap. But thank you.
I'll come drink and chat.
Yes, yeah, please.
Absolutely. Please come join us.
And we might record it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Man.
See you soon.
You're welcome, guys. Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye.
That was awesome. That was
fun. That was now perfect. We know that you can. Game changer.
Opens up a lot.
The game changer. I'm so excited about 2017 because of that.
Is that what you're looking? Let's go around the table. Let's start with Andrew. Let's talk about
keep shuffling my page.
Two things that you're looking forward to, as well as one Tony prediction.
I only have two things.
You can just say one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, one. Okay,
just
yeah.
Say one twice.
No, I am really excited for Mean Girls. Mean Girls, the musical. Yeah. That's going to be having its lab in April.
Really?
And yeah.
In D.C., right? Exciting.
The lab's happening in April, and then it's going to D.C. in in the fall. And it's written by Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, her husband's doing the music,
yes,
right?
Jeff Richmond. And
Mel's a busy lady.
She's a busy lady, and she's incredible, and it's going to be great. And then Casey Nicholas is directing it.
Right. Oh, brilliant.
Again, yeah. Crazy busy people.
And the reason I'm so excited about Mean Girls is because, well, one, I love Mean Girls, but also because their foundation comes from theater, like Tina and Jeff, but then went off to another world and have what they've learned.
Come back.
And you combine them all together with Casey and everything. I just think it's going to be something different than we've seen from an adaptation of a film to a musical, and I'm very excited about it. And then what was the other question?
One Tony prediction.
They're going to be in June.
Killed it!
It's so
early to talk about that. I mean, yeah, but there's definitely some amazing stuff already.
There's 47 new musicals, so they're all going to be in June.
Kimberly, you're
announced today. 10 weeks.
Yeah, you are.
Sunday in the Park with George.
You stole my thing. I'll riff
we can
on
go
it
together.
I'll riff on it after.
Like Rama Lama Lama?
What?
We go together.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I get
so
it.
You talk about the production. I'll talk about the new theater.
Oh.
Definitely, because I'm actually very interested in the new theater, but don't know a lot about it.
I have some bits of tidbits of information that I'm going to pull out of my brain.
That's amazing. Anyway, I'm just excited because Sunday is my favorite musical.
And also mine.
Yay. And I heard such wonderful things about the concert that I did not get to see.
It was really lovely.
I heard that they fixed some problems that happened in full productions and that things were quieter but more exciting. And then I listened to everything that was available on YouTube the next day. And I was like, I didn't have a lot of faith in Jake Gyllenhaal. And then I listened to him finish The Hat. And I was like, no, you can't do this.
He really very pleasantly surprised me.
But it is one of those, I used to call it my breakup CD, in college.
Move on. Yeah. Jeez.
No, it was finishing The Hat. I would listen to be like, that's right. I just need to be an artist and they just don't get it. And I'll be fine later. Yeah. It was
finishing The Hat.
It's just.
Thanks, Mandy. How did Mandy get in here?
Mandy's been here the whole time. One of the best things I've ever seen was the revival at Studio 54. Only because I didn't see
it. I missed it. I wasn't in town yet.
I saw that one.
It was beautiful. It really was.
It's so good. Yeah. But yes, it is coming to a brand new Broadway theater. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the Hudson Theater.
Tell me about it, Squig.
Tell me about it, Stud.
I'm glad you caught that line.
The Hudson Theater is there on 44th Street. Once the theater reopens, it will be officially the oldest Broadway house open. It opens a week before the Lyceum opened.
Oh.
Literally a week. And it was owned by a couple that ended up on the Titanic.
A couple of what? Oh.
And,
no.
Yeah,
it just got
yeah,
sad.
Good timing. Good timing on that. Time. And the husband drowned and with a lot of their jewels and stuff, but she got on the last lifeboat, and so I got to go on a tour of this theater just last week. And it's really pretty cool. It's in the midst of renovation. But so everyone was expecting this woman to sell the theater, just because it was mainly her husband that was running it, but she hung on to this theater, and essentially becoming the first female Broadway producer, and then she held on to it until she had an offer to sell it for a really extraordinary amount of money in 1929, and she refused.
Oh,
and then the stock market crash happened, and then a few years later she ended up selling it for a fraction of the amount and stuff. But it's along the way it's been as a lot of Broadway theaters became TV houses. At different times it was owned by CBS or NBC. It was the very first place that the Tonight Show aired with Steve Allen, and then later Jack Parr. It was where Elvis, after his Ed Sullivan Show appearance, he did Jailhouse Rock on the stage there.
Okay.
It's fascinating. There's in the lobby there are these great Tiffany domes, Tiffany glass that you can see through, but it's like this incandescent glass, three domes, and then there's a strip around the proscenium around the edges of the balconies that have that kind of iridescent glass. It's really a beautiful, beautiful theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kev,
yeah,
anything?
You're
or are you done now that you saw Hamilton?
This year I'm really excited about Broadway Con, and the Broad Wasted team being there for
that. Yeah, yeah, we're going to do that.
Are you guys doing a panel, or are you doing...
So we have a booth.
We're just going to do some informal panels with people at the booth.
So if you come to our booth, we're going to do... Kimberly's going to lead some trivia sessions and some questions.
I'll give you a pop quiz.
We're going to be selling super cool swag at the booth. So anyone out there listening, like, you got to come down. It's going to be an amazing time.
Maybe we can do some cooperative sessions between Broad Wasted and the Lights of Broadway Show.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll be close somewhere in this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be a huge,
I think
a huge room, but
we'll find you.
We'll find you. We'll find you too. Yeah.
It's only a Javits.
Yeah. But we're like, you can come to our booth and we'll come to yours, and we might have a portable mic and go around and ask people questions and ask you what you've seen this week.
As far as Tony predictions, I think that this year's going to be really intense in the Best Actress in a Musical category.
It's going to be a blockbuster.
Like, think about it. Like
Annaleigh Ashford now.
Well, Annaleigh Ashford, Patti LuPone, Christine Ebersole, Glenn Close.
No, she's Bette Midler.
Oh, Glenn Close can't be, because she won it for that.
Oh, right.
Said because it's a new production. It's not like Alan Cumming and Cabaret when it came back it was the same production. I don't know if they've said
like a weird double jeopardy rule about it.
Yeah, I don't know if they've said
it. Even if you take Glenn Close out.
Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
New musical, Double Jeopardy.
The musical.
I would see that.
17-year-old Kimberly, all about it.
Even
if you take Glenn Close out of the running, it is going to be like Broadway Diva Fest. And I think
because you're also going to have Miss Saigon. You're also going to have
Philippa Sue.
Amelie.
Just looking ahead, in March, literally 6 shows are opening in March right now. There are 14 shows opening in April, most of which in the final 2 weeks. So,
because there's 7 opening. Is it 8 now? The week before the Tony deadline?
I'm sure. There's at least one. I think they typically have it, one opens per day, like for that final week.
Yeah. It's just going to be.
It's going to be
that
crazy.
One busy week of April.
So of the things that I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have things that are coming out. I haven't seen Common yet. I'm super excited to see Comet. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Amelie, Miss Saigon, Groundhog's Day, War Paint, and Sunny in the Park. I'm really looking forward to Sweeney.
Mm-hmm. Sweeney, yes.
But this is going to be totally out there. But I had an amazing time there last year, and it's happening again. The Broadway Spelling Bee.
Oh.
So there's this great charity called Broadway Bound Kids.
Okay.
And what they do is they bring after-school programs, educational programs, Broadway-wise, to kids that don't have that. So, they get that education in theater and how to express themselves, and they do that.
And it's a semester-based program, and they have a performance at the end. My friend of mine taught up in a school of the Bronx for a while.
So what they
really
do every year in May is they do a spelling bee. It's hosted by the original creators of the Spelling Bee, 25th Annual Putnam. And what they
Really?
Is... Yeah.
Oh, that part I didn't know.
There are like 10... Awesome. One person from each Broadway show is a part of this adult Spelling Bee. Everyone drinks. There's cheating. It's so much fun.
Amazing. When does that happen?
That's Monday, May 8th. That's what I had such a good time last year that I'm super excited about it this year.
Yeah.
But show-wise, I'm really... I've never seen Miss Saigon before.
Really?
Ever.
Wow.
So I'm all in.
Wow. Oh, you're going to cry so hard. It's so good.
Yeah.
I've never seen Cats, but I've seen Miss Saigon. I did see it. It's Broadway's nostalgia. It's like, let's bring back
Broadway's.
The
80s.
I have a real Tony nomination. I think it's going to be, the whole year is going to be Evan versus Comet.
Yeah.
Sure. Really?
I do.
Okay.
I think Ben is going to win. I think Evan's going to win. And I think that Borrell's going to get 2 nominations.
That's my hunch.
I think he's going to get a Marvin and a Willy Wonka nomination. Yeah.
You guys, but we have so much coming in the spring.
Yeah,
I know that
there's so much coming. You're totally right.
Right.
But like, I think he's going to get 2 of them.
Willy Wonka, I think, is a really perfect role for this guy.
I played it when I was... 9, I played a Goose's Gloop in a bootleg production of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with all the original songs. So
you're a glooper. Do you have gloopers?
I'll be watching this performance of all those actors. I'll be like,
why aren't you doing it now? Because it is adults.
I wasn't called in.
So before we head out this evening, we didn't play any games.
No.
Do we want to play one quick
game?
Do
you want to play one quick one?
Yeah, let's do it. Sure.
It's called, was that this year?
Yay!
Oh, good.
And I'm just going to list off some things, and you tell me if that was this year or not.
Oh, wow.
Great. Bright Star opened on Broadway.
No.
Was that this year?
Yes. No. Yes, it was.
Yes,
yes it was. Yes. Daddy Long Legs became the first musical to be live streamed
online.
Yes, it
was. Yes. Yes. It was
incorrect. That was December of 2015.
Oh, snap. Oh. Damn it.
Tuck Everlasting opened on Broadway.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Dames at Sea closed on Broadway.
No.
No.
Yes, January.
Oh, oh
yeah. Trickery. School of Rock opened on Broadway.
No.
No.
Correct.
No.
That was November 2015. Right. Allegiance closed on Broadway.
Yes.
Right. Amazing Grace closed on Broadway.
No.
No.
Yeah. That was October of 2015. Finding Neverland closed on Broadway.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that was just this summer. Cameron McIntosh told understudies not to tweet their dates.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That was this year. A reading of Prince of Egypt was canceled after Twitter changed the universe. Or not diverse enough, sorry. Hamilton's Ham for Ham lottery moved to an online platform.
Yes. No.
Yeah, that was this year,
was
January.
This year? Okay. Kevin doesn't know. He got it very easily.
A video of Cynthia Erivo singing I Can Do Better Than That at Marie's Crisis went viral.
No.
Yes.
In my world, apparently.
No.
No, that was October 2015.
Oh, I knew.
Barbara Streisand released a behind-the-scenes video of her, Daisy Ridley, and Anne Hathaway recording at the ballet.
Yeah.
That made Brian and me cry for two full days.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Wait.
That was this year.
Wait, what?
It's like a house that in recording a studio.
Yeah. Oh, if you have not seen Julie Andrews do At the Ballet on YouTube in the 70s, and there's like, she does all the parts.
Stop it.
Yes. Look up Julie Andrews doing At the Ballet.
Okay. Do you want to do, Brian, do you want to play one quick Life's a Broadway game?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is called Binge and Purge. 2016 has been a year of binging on Netflix.
Oh,
that has starred a lot of our favorite Broadway people.
Oh, wow.
So.
Gilmore Girls, too. What? Wait.
Son Fosta, Carrie Butler.
Son Fuzzer.
Kelly Bishop. Anyway, whoever wants to go can take four from the top.
Kevin's already in there.
I'm in it.
And you need to create to me the next binge-worthy Netflix drama and or comedy. Anyone who wants to, you can just take four from the top.
Let's do Kevin, Andrew, and Squiggs.
Just something that you think the Broadway community would like to binge on Netflix, Amazon Prime, or Hulu.
Okay, so I have...
Whoever's ready, go.
Okay, so I'm going to make a rock opera version of Wolf Hall Parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
Nice. That stars Cheetah Rivera, Andrew Rannells, and Len Carew. Carew.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Is it?
I thought it was Len Carew.
I
thought
too.
It was, too.
Len Carew. It's in a lyric of something. That's how I know.
Bluska do Len Carew.
So, yeah, I would put them all together in a crazy rock musical version of Wolf Hall Part 1 and 2.
Amazing.
And it would be really epic.
Andrew.
I have a Netflix docu-series melodrama. No, it's written. So I have a Netflix series called Next to Normal with the number 2 in between. and it stars Benjamin Walker and Audra McDonald. And they're married. And it's their whole, like it's their kind of like crazy drama. And it's kind of funny. And there's like weird things that happen. And they're friends with their next door neighbor called Annalee Ashford. But then they find out later that she's actually their grandmother. And it's called Next to Normal. I didn't really try hard. Sorry, guys. Go.
Honestly, wow. I would watch that.
Wow. I would too.
Yeah.
Anything with a twist, yeah. Netflix loves.
Oh, wait, sorry. She's their
dead grandmother?
No, it was that she was their daughter slash also their grandmother. It was
better
she
twist.
Was, sorry, she was an old lady and you find out there she's the daughter. Anyway, it
okay,
sucks.
Great.
Anyway.
I get it.
I want to write for TV, guys.
Wow. I made a kind of a random draw, but I drew Joe Mantello and Kander and Ebb and Michael Bennett.
Not a rare card.
And Anna Viafanya. So I'm going to say it's going to be a made-for-TV musical directed by Joe Mantello and also with a cameo appearance by Joe Mantello because he's an amazing actor.
Yeah, he does.
And the music written by John Kander and the ghost of Fred Ebb.
And, ghost musicals for ghosts are phenomenal.
Exactly. And also directed and choreographed by the ghost of Michael Bennett.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's going to break ground as one of the only like half ghost led.
You'll have to zoom half the people in your list.
half ghost led TV, straight to TV.
Ghost led musical.
And what is Anna's role?
Starring Anna Viafanya as a school teacher, and it's just a rolling on a guest cast, and you learn things, and it's called La Escuela.
I like that.
Yeah.
And through a lot of dance and some really really cool tunes.
We have talked about a lot of things, and I think what we've learned from tonight is that Kevin gives Hamilton a thumbs up.
I do.
We're gonna miss Bright Star. We love Dear Evan Hansen. Andrew gives Comet 2 big thumbs up. we want to thank everybody. I don't know. That's not where we came from this. But don't forget that we end every episode with a quote. It's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it nowadays?
That was a good one for the end of the year.
I think so.
I really like that.
Well, and before we zoot to op bum, don't forget to follow Andrew and Twigs on their...
if you listen to this, you probably already do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very, very lovely.
But I just
thank you. And thank you, all of you.
Thank you, and Google.
We started this in May. We want to thank every one of you that listens every week. Every one of you has listened at least once. We really want to thank you very much for accepting us into your week, making us make your week feel joyful, making your week a little bit more drunk.
Thank you all.
Thank you everyone who tweets to us. Everyone who called. Yeah.
Can I pop in here just real quick?
Of course you can.
You know, and one of the things that I just love about this podcast and about, you know, similar things, you know, annoying actor friend, Twitter accounts that make people talk, the Lights of Broadway cards. It's something especially needed right now where we're doing our best to create some art, something fun that brings people together. And so congratulations on doing that.
Thanks.
And all of you who listen, you can do the same thing. You know, use your resources, most of which, you know, you can, social media is free, right? Well, at least as of now. But like use what resources you have to make something. Put it out there. Don't have any expectations necessarily, but make something that makes people happy. And yeah. I think that's what you guys do. And I'm so happy and honored to be a part of this.
I second and third that. I want you all to right now blue back 15 seconds and listen to what Squidge just said again, because that's perfect.
Blue.
You know what that is.
Just
just tap that 15 second back, and now it's 30. But that was perfect. Squidge, that was perfect.
Thank you so much.
So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Broadwasted. Go on iTunes, subscribe to us if you haven't, if this is the first time you're listening to us, or please rate or review us. 5 stars, please.
Five stars, please.
Let's begin.
Of course.
Let's give a huge congrats to 2016. Some parts of you were super but like, can you read what you tweeted today? Because it really, to me, it summed up the year.
I said 2016 also gave us Bright Star, so calm the F down. We got our one thing.
Cheers. Cheers to the Bright Star in your life, whether it was American Psycho, or whether it was Tuck, or whether it was Hamilton, or whether it was Color Purple, or Fiddler, whatever it was, something rotten. Let's cheers, and as we always do every week...
Zoo-doo-wop-bop.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Follow
Happy
your
New
own
year.
Bright star.
Follow your own bright star.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.